Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. Let's get into it. So guys, Ramadan Mubarak. I just have to apologize in advance because the audio quality of this particular episode is not so great. At this point, I hadn't figured out the microphone, but I have good news for you guys. Going forward, the audio quality is going to be mad. Like, it's on a high tier right now. It has been figured out. So I hope you don't get too pissed listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. I'm in Hikma, you knew that already. And on today's episode, we're just going to be having a light conversation. So it's Ramadan, precisely 3 days. I think we're on day 3 or day 4. Honestly, I lost count. I think we started on Monday. So this is Wednesday, so we're on day 3. How has Ramadan been going for you all? I hope it has been fulfilling. I hope you've been able to do all the du'as and prayers that you planned. I hope Ramadan has been going peaceful for every one of us. May Allah give us the iman and strength to complete this month, if he wills, inshallah. So I feel like I sound a bit down, and it's because this week has been very heavy. And even in me saying it's heavy, I can just imagine. I feel like I even have no right to say it's heavy, because more than me, the people who were or who are the recipients of the heavy weight of this Ramadan probably feel, and most definitely feel, heavier than I do right now. So we lost somebody on Sunday, and it was the most, I don't have words for how that made me feel. For the first time in my life, I prayed janazah, and it was quite surreal. Pre-Sunday, I hadn't been feeling very Ramadan-y, and I feel like I still don't quite feel exactly as quote-unquote Ramadan-y as I used to feel. And I'm worried because I know how I used to feel once upon a time. So when I was in Abuja, you guys know I was in Abuja from the last episode, right? So I was in Abuja for like two weeks. And during that time, I felt the Ramadan calm. Like, I felt excited. I couldn't wait, basically, for Ramadan. I even got this like a jotter where I wrote du'as and just started like planning the month. I do this thing, I'm a writer. I'm not just like writing novels or stuff in the sense of that word. I like to write down my thoughts as well and plan accordingly. You know, if I have something to do, let's say tomorrow, I'm the type of person that would write it down detailed, like do a like timetable and a flow chart of how I want the day to go and what time, and I'm a planner, quote unquote, that kind of person. So I had already started writing down, okay, so Ramadan is coming, I want to do this. And then up until when I left Abuja, you know, and I got to KDA, for the first day I still felt that way, but then soon after I stopped feeling it as much. But the events of Sunday really gave me a different perspective. First off, this person was sick for a while, and honestly, if anything, I regret not checking up on the person's daughter, who is a family friend of mine, and I think I can say we're friends. I wanted to, and I kept procrastinating, and I was telling myself, even on that Sunday, I was telling myself, okay, you know what, when the Ramadan starts on Monday, inshallah, I would check up on her, because she has been taking care of her dad, and, you know, I really wanted to check up on her, but I just never ended up doing it. And then on Sunday, in the afternoon, late afternoon, we heard the news. And honestly, just, I don't know. This person who passed away was such a good person. I can say that to the extent of my knowledge of this person. He was such a good person. Even now, thinking about him, I have tears in my eyes because he was the most peaceful adult I have ever known in my life. You know, growing up, you see adults like agitated and, you know, frustrated and just trying to make ends meet or trying to do one or two things, and they looked always like stressed and frustrated and agitated and maybe shouting and, you know, all these things. This particular person, I have never seen, in my observation of my surroundings and of the people around me, I have never seen him break a sweat. He always looked like the most calm person. And even in my life, once or twice, when I had conversations surrounding maybe something else and he came up, I would say to my sisters, this person is such a calm person. I want to be like this person. This person is such a good person, and I only can pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on his soul, forgive his sins, uplift his rank, protect and continue to protect and provide for his family and loved ones, and give them the fortitude to bear this loss. For the first time in my life, I prayed janazah, and I don't know how. It was such a heavy experience. It just brought God closer to me, and I don't think I've actually sat down to analyze how that made me feel, so I don't want to start crumbling, explaining the emotions that I haven't even come to terms with myself, so I won't do that. And after janazah, later when I would think about it, I can't believe that people, you know, last year, my dad prayed janazah at some point, I think last year or the year before. And during janazah, somebody stole his phone. And I'm telling you, like, even now when I think about the janazah that, you know, when we went to pray, I can't believe that in such a moment, somebody would even consider committing a sin. This is the most humbling of experiences in my whole life. And somebody would commit a sin in that moment. You know, as Muslims, it's very hard. Well, for me, it's not as easy for me to, when I'm praying, to have my focus completely, 100%. Let's say I was praying Zuhur, to have 100% of my focus and not, my thoughts should not move and just focus on the prayer. It's usually not that easy. It's something that takes effort. But when I was praying janazah, my mind was just trained. It's the most humbling of experiences. Is the most humbling thing that could ever happen to you. It's the most, it reduces you to the most minute thing in this earth, because you are forced. The fact that somebody can actually sit down and decide, okay, during this most humbling moment of my life, and as somebody who is praying janazah, let me still, I can't believe it. But anyways, we saw this man off, we prayed for him. And he went to, they took him to bury, and the sermon after, because the women, not everybody went, so we went to the mosque, and when they got back, and the sermon after, has not left me, not a moment since then. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm feeling it, the Ramadan, so much. If anything, I'm more aware of the importance, and I'm like consciously aware of Ramadan. But I feel like it's much better than when I came back from Abuja. And alhamdulillah for that. So to help me be in the zone, I'm going to share with you guys what I do to keep abreast of the month so it doesn't go to waste. Number one, I reduce my screen time completely. So Instagram, social media, I have reduced it completely. I rarely go online to do those things, to check them. If at all, I just check my messages and that's it. Number two, I created a reading corner, like a prayer corner in the room. So I share my room with my sisters, and so I just kind of like changed my bed location and I made a prayer corner. I washed my Duma, so that's my prayer mat, and doing stuff like that just prepares my soul. I don't know how to explain it. It makes me aware, you know, it prepares me like, okay, yes, Ramadan, you know. So I washed my prayer mat, I put some wood on it, I made a praying corner, and that's where I put my mat, and I would have some Quran and books, Islamic books that I would like to go through. And I made it a mission to read few pages of the Quran after every Salat. I haven't done that this Zuhur, so I'm going to be doing double the weight during Asr because I'm recording pre-Asr. So that really helps. In addition to that, I basically remove any form of negativity. Anything that has the potential to piss me off, I just like clean my eyes from it. So that I wouldn't have to engage with such negative emotions. So I believe that we are on number four now, or number five. And number four or five would, for me, would be to worship God how I should worship God. So for those of you who may not already know this, I have a chronic illness, which means that I am not able to necessarily fast like the rest of you guys who are okay. And it wasn't until a few years back, maybe 2-3 years back, that I felt comfortable taking breaks during Ramadan, or felt comfortable sitting down to pray, or things like that. And this is because of people around me and this thing called religious guilt that you normal people make people with chronic illness feel when you feel like they are not doing enough. Already as a person with chronic illness, you are literally starting not on the same line with somebody who is quote unquote normal. So the threshold or the meter with which we are measuring what is normal way to pray. Okay, actually there is the normal way to pray. But the meter with which you're measuring what is normal for that person is really skewed to begin with. All that to say, I also have chronic ulcer, so which means that before the end of Suhoor, I have to take my pills. If not, I may or may not be in trouble. So yeah, I just honestly started. So, I just generally, all that to say, I just started like doing what works for me in terms of if I feel like a flare up coming up, I may take a break if I feel absolutely necessary to do so. It's absolutely necessary to do so. In addition to that, if I feel like I'm having a bit of a situation and it requires me to sit down, I'm going to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so generous and has allowed. There wouldn't be a way to pray sitting if there was no need for that, you get. So, and also talking about chronic illness, please and please, if you have a chronic illness or you're not able to physically fast, you're not proving anybody a point. There's no need to try to prove a point to people that you're equally as Muslim or whatever you think you're proving. It's not necessary. As long as you're honest with yourself and you're doing what is right, it's okay. Honestly, you don't need to kill yourself just to prove to people that you are a good Muslim. So if you have, like, if you're sick, if you're pregnant, if in your period, if whatever the case may be and you want to take a break, do that. Also, in that same vein, men and non-Muslims should stop asking women why they are not praying, or why they're not fasting rather, because there are different reasons that would make a woman not to fast. She may be on a period, in which case it's also none of your business. She may be pregnant, in which case it's none of your business. She may be chronically ill, in which case it's none of your business. If you are, let's say you're not informed, let's say you're not a Muslim, and you're curious, the right way to do that is to do it on the side, away from prying eyes, and not try to shame her into it. I've told this story before, so I'm not going to tell it again, but I hope, I don't know if you guys remember the story where I told you how, like, this guy on the plane accosted me for not fasting. And this stigma and shame associated with women not fasting, telling them to hide and eat and all these things. Honestly, I feel like people need to just grow up here, because I think you guys need to just, like, let women breathe. I don't particularly think a woman needs to hide to eat or pretend as if she's fasting together with you just so you don't know she's not fasting. That's a stretch, and it's long and unnecessary, honestly. At 2024, we all know about periods, we all know about pregnancies, and just whatever, really. You don't really need to know. Mind your business is what I'm trying to say. So, to my Muslim sisters, I know it's hard, especially if you're in a, like, male-dominated place, or for some reason you can't eat outside, I get it. But honestly, you shouldn't be made to feel shame because you're on your period. You literally have no control over it. So yeah, that's the other thing about, you know, what I have been particularly doing to keep myself abreast of this fast. Right now, I can't really think of other stuff, but I'm probably doing one or two more things to just, like, give myself a foot forward. So if you feel like you absolutely need to prepare yourself, because see, the truth of the matter is, whether or not we feel Ramadani, we are fasting, and it's better if we try to accommodate ourselves and push us in that, like, zone than just say because we're not feeling Ramadani, we just don't fast. It makes no sense. Allah alam, but it's just better. I feel like it's quite better. It's just better to, you know, open up your heart and just accept it. You get. Yeah. So those are the things that I do personally. After Ramadan comes Eid. And okay, I'm not going to talk about Eid because I feel like we have time. This is literally Ramadan day 4. I'm talking about Ramadan day 4. My Muslim sisters, honestly, we need to come together and just decide that we need to take God first and, you know, pray, do your dua, do your zikr, and all those things. Because I was on, I can't remember where I was on, I listened to it or something, and somebody said something yesterday. And this is something that even in the other recording, the other episode, I spoke very about it. And this is, like, women just not feeling so as close to God during Ramadan as maybe men do. Not every woman will have this problem. Not every woman will think this is a problem. But for me, personally, oh my God. And I know that some women would relate. I am sick and tired of people telling us that, okay, I know it's true, but honestly, I don't want to hear it. I'm sick and tired of people telling us, oh, it's okay, you don't need to beat yourself up because you're not able to do as much zikr or, like, seclude yourself and whatnot because you're cooking. So that's, like, good. And, you know, God is, nah, no, really. I feel like it's so unfair. I can't help but feel like it's so unfair. Oh, my God. Especially when you're in the kitchen and you're, like, buried in, like, kitchen work. And this person was saying this thing, and it just sounded so, you know, how, like, women are forced to subject themselves, well, not subject themselves, but, like, stereotypically, women are the ones doing the cooking during Ramadan, yeah, and they have to accommodate everybody, and depending on the food. I mean, I don't know if people would relate to this, but Ramadan cooking is completely different, so it's not like normal day making dinner. Ramadan cooking is, you're making a feast. Some houses always have pap every day. Some houses always have akara and pap, and that's not the main meal. Some houses always have akara, pap, and pepper soup, and that's not the main meal. So imagine, like, you guys at the kitchen cooking what? Appetizers, main desserts, and drinks, and you have no time whatsoever to feel like you can sit down and do some, like, grand recitations and whatnot. Now imagine a woman who goes to work every morning just to come back by 3-4. And you're in the kitchen and you're doing all these things. Oh my God, Almighty Allah bless our women. It's really not easy. So be nice and be kind to your woman if she's did all these things for you. Be kind to your mom and your sisters, and please help around the house. Help around the house. Honestly, you should feel like a jerk if you don't. It's just, yeah. Let me see if I can find this thing I'm talking about, and I will play it over the recording for you guys. You know, funny enough, growing up, I used to have this family member who would be sleeping themselves, but would wake up and, like, before, maybe around 4, and the person would wake up and the person would be shouting. Because they used to live with us, the person would be shouting about how, like, oh, there are women in the house, and it's almost like time for call to prayer. We haven't cooked anything, and can't we see that it's time? And I'm like, sir, you just woke up yourself, keep quiet. Because why? Like, why? And another thing is, you know, those houses where you have guys who are very picky and, you know, with food and saying things like, oh, why did you, like, why didn't you cook this? I would prefer this. Honestly, just keep quiet and eat whatever they give you. And thank God, especially if you can't cook it yourself. You know? I don't know if you can tell, but the second half of this podcast is a more light-hearted version of myself, because I did not record on the same day. But yeah, I couldn't find what it is. Also, could you guys recommend a nice, like, tafsir for me to listen to? I usually don't like to listen to, okay, see, this, you people might not agree, but let's agree to disagree. Most times I don't like listening to Islamic, like, tafsir. Not tafsir is not the word, like wazi, sermons, yeah, sermons. Because I feel like majority of those people giving sermons are coming from a place of bias, depending on what they are talking about, you know. Whether they be talking about women or whatever it is, they come from a place of bias. And as far as I can hear or see bias in your eyes and bias in your voice, I'm no longer interested in what you have to say, because I just can't trust what you have to say to me in that moment. So I tend to not listen to them. I use my energy more on listening to tafsir, because it's like translation and, you know, explanation of verses of the Holy Quran, as opposed to listening to sermons about stuff that you feel a certain way about, and you are using your biases to advise people. So for me, I don't know if I said this earlier in the recording, but there's this tafsir that I've been listening to, it on Spotify. And it is by Green Lane Masjid, I believe. It's on Spotify. It's the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I like this tafsir because he does a really good job of it, actually. And it's long, but it's broken down in short episodes. So you can listen, you know, Surah Al-Baqarah is quite long itself. So you can listen to the tafsir from the beginning till the end. And it's by Green Lane Masjid. This is what I listen to when, let's say, I'm in the kitchen, or I'm just like, I finished praying and I'm not particularly doing anything. So I put it on my Bluetooth speaker and I listen. And he does a very good explanation of, you know, the Surah Al-Baqarah. And yeah, it's by Sheikh Mustafa Abu Rayyan, Green Lane Masjid. You should check it out on Spotify. Surah Al-Baqarah tafsir. So that's good. Stuff like that I like to listen to, but not necessarily about some sermons, depending on the context and what it is they're sermoning about. If you have always been somebody that kept fit, how has that been going for you during Ramadan? I find that sometimes after Fajr, so around that kind of 6 a.m., 6:10, 6:15, I like to go on a morning walk, and that is like back and forth. Let me see, I did that yesterday. I didn't do that today because I didn't get enough sleep. But yesterday I kind of did like 3.1 kilometers back and forth, and that was like 6,000 steps. It's 6,000 steps thereabouts. So I have been trying to incorporate that into my schedule when I can. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I can't find the recording. I didn't forget. I can't find what it was I wanted to show you guys or let you listen to. But should I come across it again, I would record it for you. So yeah, that's about it. I feel like I've started rambling. I have to go right now. So I don't know, I think this might be a short episode. I have to go right now. I want to pray and get to it because at the end of the day it's Ramadan. And I just hope that we can all learn from just emulating good Muslims around us. This is not the time to like go astray, maybe not go astray. This is a time to remember God, truly, truly remember God. And I hope that we keep doing that. May the soul of our loved ones rest in peace, inshallah. May God have mercy on their souls. May God continue to provide and protect for their loved ones. May God Almighty Allah grant them Jannat al-Firdaws and forgive their shortcomings and multiply their good deeds, inshallah. On that note, I'm going to be leaving you guys here. Masalam. Until the next recording, until the next episode, I am your loyal host, Hikmatullah, original tired Nigerian girl. Have a nice day.